Our epistle reading this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. In this famous passage, Paul describes both the unity and diversity in one body of those who follow Christ. Let us listen together for God's word. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts. And all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts of the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? And all don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts, and I'm going to show you an even better way. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. At the table with his disciples for a final meal, he took a loaf of bread and called it his body. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word.
I got room to move here a little bit. Amazing. It's incredible. Beautiful morning. So good to have you all here. Let's pray. Amazing, wonderful, incredible this morning. These people, this body of Christ gathered as we are, God, thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the song. Break your word open this morning in a way that we can hear and understand. Transform us, that we might transform the world. Amen.
Amen.
Not my eyes. Just the body, no hands but ours, no feet but ours, no eyes but ours, no body but ours. Here's a story of Jesus' body. It hadn't always been like this. Things were different this time. God had always been up there or over there or over there. God had always been in a flaming bush or a fiery pillar or a whirlwind or a cloud, but this time was different. And this time was different because God chose to come down and join us as flesh and blood and bone in a manger, in a stable, in a place called Bethlehem. You all know the story, right? Angels, shepherds watching their flocks by night, no room at the inn, and the good news of great joy that Jesus Christ was born today, the story of the incarnation. If you know that story, maybe you know the rest of the story too, because Jesus wasn't a baby forever, right? I mean, Jesus grew up, and as he grew up, he had a growing sense of who he was and what God was calling him to do, and so one day, he met with John at the Jordan River, and he was baptized, and he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and when he came out, he was ready for his public ministry. He began to teach and to heal and to call disciples and to speak truth to power and come into conflicts with the temple and with Rome, and all of it caught up to him, didn't it? You see, one night after dinner with his disciples, he was in a garden and he was arrested and brought before the temple authorities and the Roman authorities, and they condemned him to die. And after that, things moved quickly. His body was beaten and nailed to a cross, and it was there where his body breathed its last and died. And then he was put into a tomb. And 3 days later, those courageous women came to the tomb to finish burying his body, but you know the stone was rolled away, and it became more and more clear that Jesus, who was dead, was alive again. It was this amazing moment where God's great saving love became most visible for all of us forever. It caused the disciples to freak out, let me tell you. And after they freaked out for a bit, and after Jesus appeared to them a little bit, it was time for him to leave. And so the disciples, standing in a field, gathered around, staring up, they saw Jesus' body go into the heavens, and it left them wondering what you and I are still wondering, what the same thing today. What the heck are we supposed to do now that there's no eyes but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours, no body but ours? So that's the story of Jesus' body when he was with us. And that was a long time ago, and he's gone. But you know who's not gone? The body of Christ is not gone. We baptized followers of Jesus. We in Jericho and Underhill and around the world who call ourselves the church, we are not gone. Look around this morning. 5 churches and probably some folks who aren't part of any of those churches. All of us gathered here worshiping and singing and passing the peace and having a wonderful worship service together, making the body of Christ visible. And you know, as Paul reminded us in the passage that Kurt just read for us, the body is not single, right? There's diversity built into it. Hands, some are eyes, and some are hands, and some are feet, and all of us are different, but somehow in Christ, all of us are made one in the body of Christ, which is incredible and amazing and worth celebrating in this tent this morning. So let me get something out in the open. I have been pastor of the United Church of Underhill for 7.5 years, and in that time I have gotten to know many of you. I've gotten to know all of your pastors. I've gotten to know a little something about your churches, and I've learned enough to know that I like you, and I respect you, and I'm amazed at the incredible things you're doing in Christ's name as individuals and as a congregation and as a whole body of Christ, and I am proud to call you my brothers and sisters in Christ. Having said that, I think it's also true that the body of Christ is a little broken around the world and even here in Jericho and Underhill. You know, I know enough to know that many of our churches are struggling to keep our buildings up, I know many of our churches are struggling financially. I know that all of our churches are struggling to attract new members and attract young people, trying to navigate the waters of technology to use that in graceful and effective ways. All of us are struggling to figure out how to be faithful followers of Jesus in a pluralistic world. And all of us are struggling just to be and do church in struggling and changing and difficult times. Does any of that resonate? Is that just me? Right, we all feeling this a little bit, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Yeah, the body of Christ is a little bit broken. And if that's true, then I think it's also true that we're feeling maybe a bit of a tension in the body of Christ. A tension between our desire to be Christ's hands and feet in this world and the struggles and challenges that are in front of us. A tension between our desire to care for and love our neighbors, knowing there's some barriers to that. There is a tension with our call as baptized Christians to engage oppression and injustice and evil, things like systemic racism that is as far away as Charleston, South Carolina, and as close as here. And the exhaustion and the danger that lies with us in our call to engage those things. There is a tension in our call to transform this world in and through Jesus Christ and just the challenges that we have in front of us. So I think it's true, dear ones, that we are the body of Christ, but you know, sometimes we hear about all of these things going on in the world and we feel overwhelmed by them. We think about the call that we have to engage these things. We think about how hard that is, and then we look at the institution, the body of Christ that we have, which is God has given us as a gift to engage these serious things, and yet so often we can't or won't or don't. Not enough energy, we say, not enough time, not enough talent, not enough hands, not enough vision, not enough study, not enough prayer, not enough, not enough, not enough. And so there is a need in our churches today to have the strength and the energy to engage these things, and yet there is the church of not enough oftentimes. We are the body of Christ, but sometimes we feel like that body that is 85 years old with a bit of senility, some dimming vision, and some failing hearing. So maybe that is some hard news for us to hear this morning. Maybe it's safer and easier at this nice summer Sunday service, gathered around as we are. Maybe it's easier to think about the positive, to think about all that's good and right and true about the body of Christ in general and our body of Christ in particular. Maybe that's safer and easier and nicer to do. And I feel that, I hear that, but I also feel this morning the need for some truth-telling about the body of Christ, because you know it's very much at the heart of our Christian faith to be truth tellers. So it's important to be truth tellers about all that's wrong, all that's broken in the body of Christ, in our particular congregations and in our shared body of Christ together. And I think it's important to do that, not because I want to bum everyone out this morning, but because I care. Because I believe that the world is desperate for a healthy and vital body of Christ. And we know the headlines. We know the poverty of our neighbors. We know the opiate addiction raging across Vermont. We know that there's oppression and injustice and all over the place. We know there's 1,000 things that we need to engage in this world and to transform in Christ's name. And yet there's major challenges. So I think it's important for us to tell the truth to one another about all that's broken and needs fixing, because that's a way that we have to re-energize, revitalize our shared ministries, that we might be resurrected and put into a place to engage all the things that Jesus Christ calls us to engage. So I will end this morning with some good news and also some homework for you to take back to your congregation. So first, the good news this morning, despite the hard news of the broken body of Christ, the good news is that there is the good news. That I started off by telling the story of Jesus' body from birth through resurrection and ascension. It's such an amazing and wonderful and powerful and life-giving story. It's amazing and wonderful and so powerful that it's more powerful than anything this world has to throw at us. And though I am concerned about the vitality of the body of Christ today, I am not at all concerned about God's love for us in Jesus Christ. It is alive and well in here and in here and out there. And because God's love for us in Jesus Christ is alive and well in all of those places, that means there is hope for you and me and our churches and for the body of Christ and for this whole world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. That, dear ones, is the good news. But here's the homework. It's in two parts, so stay with me. This isn't too long, right? Okay. The first thing, I invite you to go back to your congregations and to do some truth-telling with one another about what's broken in your congregation and between our congregations in Jericho and our church. To go back and do some Christ-like truth-telling about all that's broken, about all that needs to be let go of, about all the relationships that could stand in need of forgiveness. Go and tell some truth about those places in your communal life together where doing and being church has become all about you and your needs and less about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So go do some truth-telling, which is hard. I get it. I understand. But it's also essential and a powerful tool for resurrecting our congregation. Second, as you're truth-telling with one another, I invite you to do some storytelling, the story of Jesus' body when he was among us. You know, just go and tell that story to one another again and again and again. Tell it in worship, tell it in coffee hour, tell it in committee meetings, tell it in informal conversations. Tell the story of Jesus Christ to one another. Let it rain down upon your congregations. Bask in it and revel in it and see the new life that comes. And through truth-telling and storytelling, may new life come to you. May you have the energy and vitality and health that you need to do all the things that Jesus Christ is calling us to do. Because, you know, the last time I looked, this world was in desperate need of the body of Christ. Amen. And the last time I looked, there was no eyes but ours. No hands but ours, no feet but ours, no body but ours. Amen.
Amen.